HRHeadquarters.ie, the podcast.
Brought to you by Irish Life Health.
So today I am joined by Ross Seychelle. He is CPO of Personio. Ross, you're very welcome to the HR Headquarters podcast.
Hi, Declan. Nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
No problem at all. Ross, maybe just as a quick starting point, you want to just introduce what you do and what Personio do?
Yeah, of course. So I'm the Chief People Officer here at Personio. So I look after people, but also workplace and IT. And I've been with Personio for about 1.5 years and in the HR industry for about 20 some years now. I feel very old when I say that out loud. And Personio, for those that haven't heard about us, we are one of the fastest growing HR tech companies in Europe. Essentially, we're a people operating system. So we support small to medium sized companies across Europe with all of their people technology needs. So everything from recruiting and talent through to, you know, people and core HR, reporting, workflows, payroll. So kind of end to end. And we support usually companies with employees from about 20 to 2000 employees as well in terms of size.
Excellent. And Ross, the reason we invited you on today, you've done some quite interesting research. Sort of some of it jumped off the page with me, to be honest with you. And it's a combination of things, effect of the pandemic, on young workers, amongst other things. I might get you just to explain some of the research. One of the things that I had seen, which really it amazed me, I was aghast almost, that one in 10 young workers that were surveyed had never had a performance review. Incredible in my view. Do you want to just delve into that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. So as part of our kind of ongoing work, we do research studies, across the HR people community. So this is one we did recently called the Great Reevaluation, where we looked at about 5,000 employees and 1,200 HR decision makers from European small to medium sized companies. And essentially, as part of that research study we did, we wanted to understand, you know, the effects of the pandemic. Now that, you know, things are starting to kind of unfold and we're seeing, you know, some of the effects of it over the next, well, now and over the next years to come. So, you know, a couple of things came to light. I think definitely we're seeing kind of this notion of a great reevaluation, which is centered on employees. You know, nearly half of employees that were surveyed are planning on looking for a new job in the next 12 months, which I found was, you know, really sobering. And that equates to nearly about 50 million people across Europe, if you extrapolate that out across that market. And I think what we found was there was a big disconnection between kind of what employees, especially younger employees, kind of wanted and needed from their employers. And one of those things, as you mentioned, Declan, out of many, was around performance and really having meaningful regular discussions with their leader or their leader manager, whatever you around their impact, number one, and were they on the right track? Were they getting great feedback to know that they're on the right track? And then secondly, were they having a development discussion? You know, where they very simply, you know, where am I going and how am I getting there? What do I need to do to get there? What can you do to help me as my leader? So something really fundamental like that was not really coming through. And I think that's, you know, quite a sobering fact, as you mentioned.
How does it get to, like, I can understand that in a smaller organization who maybe doesn't have the, you know, focused HR or leadership capability. But in bigger organizations, how does it get to that stage where people aren't having something as basic as a performance conversation? And then, as you quite rightly said, that leads on to there's every chance they're not having a career development.
Yeah, I think there's probably a couple of things. One is, you know, underlying, you know, as a company, whatever size you are, like, what kind of culture do you build? So do you build a culture? Do you reinforce a culture where you really want to value and invest in your people? And some companies say that they do and they do it. Some companies say they do and they don't do it. And then there's other companies, sadly, that just don't do it. And they, you know, see their employees, the people that, you know, choose to work for them as resources. And sadly, that's the case, you know, in some companies that's still there. So I think it depends on the culture ethos that you've built, about putting value in that and then investing in that. And that starts from like all of the leaders. So whether your company is new and you've got founders that are leading the company, or your company's a bit older and you've got, you know, CEO or leaders who are a bit more experienced, if they value it and they want to make sure that that's happening, then obviously that's in place. I think secondly, then, is for me about having the right tools and experiences. So again, that goes back to investment. So do you have training for leaders on the value of having performance conversations, goal setting, who's role modeling that? Do you have technology that helps you? So do you have like a system or a platform that you can store your goals in, that can gather feedback, that you can sit down and talk with your leader about your development plan? So if you don't have those things in place, and then you don't have the behavior that sits behind it, then I think that's often where a lot of companies, you know, they fall foul. And I think the last bit is what sits around it is, you know, the last couple of years has been a lot of companies have had to really go to ground to really focus on how to protect their business, because maybe they have been impacted by the current or after effects of the pandemic. So often in those situations, kind of top line, bottom line takes precedent, and often companies, they forget about the people that actually generate, you know, revenue, that look after their customers, that drive the business forward. So sometimes that short-sighted behavior sneaks in and you know, takes over.
Yeah, absolutely. Bit of sort of firefighting in the short term. What do you, and you portrayed earlier there that, you know, you've obviously extensive HR experience. What do you think a good sort of PR career conversation process would look like? Any thoughts on frequency, what those meetings would look like, what you talk about?
Yeah, exactly. So, God, it's probably the topic in like my 20 some years of working in this space. It's always on the agenda, because I think that I don't think any company in my experience has solved it yet. You go from like, you know, having extensive performance reviews, regular check-ins, rating scales, right the way through to, you know, maybe 5 years ago or so, a lot of companies were ditching rating scales and having more regular frequent one-to-ones. And then some companies were saying that wasn't working for us because they hadn't really embedded it in their culture and going back to what they did before. So I think number one is, I think you have to look at what's right for your organization. So what stage of growth you're at. If you're at a company that's like early stage of growth, you know, you're building and running, you know, people are doing multiple jobs because it's kind of like all in it together. Then I think more regular discussions, feedback, more natural sessions, you know, goals maybe are more shorter term, you know, checking in terms of like, you know, what people are learning in the role is often what's happening. So kind of frequency is more, feedback is definitely more, you know, frequent and kind of, you know, in moment as well. I think maybe as your company, you know, then is more established potentially, and change is maybe less frequent, and maybe initiatives or projects or work is more longer term, with shorter term goals, and maybe a lot, you know, having a few, you know, full reviews with your team members through the year, but then still having that regular one-to-one dialogue with your team members. And I think the regular feedback should always be there. I think the feedback in a less fast-paced environment, you know, can look a bit different as well, because obviously the nature of the work you're doing is a bit different. I think what should be there though in all the conversations is structure. So I think the thing that I hear most from leaders that I work with, or that you know, that I've been around, is when you just, you know, rock up to a meeting and there's no set agenda, there's no preparation, there's no, you know, thinking ahead. I think that's where then you don't have a really valuable conversation. So having some focus on work that someone's doing, giving them feedback, looking ahead, talking about their development. I think you can bucket in those ways. And then finally, I think, you know, individuals should drive it as much as a leader. So I think the leader's role is to role model what's expected in terms of those discussions, but the individual should come prepared, you know, to be able to talk about what's important for them, because at the end of the day, it's their time. But the leader should make sure that they maximize that time, and also that there's enough time for them to help, you know, take ownership of feedback and other topics.
Yeah, some really good points there. I hadn't thought about it in the terms of the stage of the organization, but I completely agree with you. It's a, you know, it's a very different thing for a, you know, a young up and coming company. I mean, young in terms of age of the company. What might be needed when, you know, you have five people and everyone needs to do everything at any given time. the performance reviews, talking to people about their career progression, it plays a big part in retention. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, like absolutely. I think I even know from my own company, my own experience as well as, you know, I think we have, like, if you're a company, you know, all companies want to hire the best talent, you know, and when you want to hire the best talent, generally they're ambitious. It doesn't always mean about promotions. It can be about progression and opportunity to grow and learn more. It doesn't always mean about changing job and getting, you know, a level change or, you know, a change in compensation. But I think that notion of progression is really important, and having the opportunity to talk about, you know, where are you now? Like, what are you learning in your current role? A lot of people are actually learning and growing in their job. You know, I am just now, you know, we're building as we're running as a company. So there's a lot of things that I've not done for a while, or I'm having to do differently, so you know, here versus previous company. So you're learning how to do that in a different way, and people forget that. But also it's about knowing where you want to get to and having a bit of a plan for that. Now, I think in this day and age, it's hard for you to plan like 5 or 10 years ahead. Some people are clear on what they want to do and they have a long-term goal, but then I think your job as a leader is to kind of like coach your team and ask great questions about, you know, what is it they want to learn in the next period. You know, get feedback about them so they can see what are the gaps that they have, if it's like technical skills, if it's kind of behavioral or soft skills that they want to learn, if it's leadership, and how do you enable them to do that. Some things they will have to drive themselves and some things that you can help them with. But I always think in the end, your job as a leader is to keep your team honest. And I think to keep bringing that topic back. Some people are more proactive and others maybe less so. So I think your job is to make sure that it doesn't fall to the bottom of the list, because that can always happen in those discussions, like work and tasks and topics come first and then development always gets pushed to the end. So I always say turn it on its head and maybe start with development sometimes. And that means that you know, you put the right intention on it at the beginning.
I'm internally thinking about the format of my own one-to-ones, and I definitely need to turn it on its head, because I do talk about PDP all the professional development all the time. But you are correct; it's always the last thing, and unfortunately, yeah. The last thing, as we always know, can be the one that gets the least amount of time.
Getting buy-in on your people strategy can often be challenging, but it doesn't have to be. At Irish Life Health, we help HR leaders to unlock insights and make data-driven HR decisions. Join over 2,500 HR leaders who partner with us to help their employees live a healthier life. Search Irish Life Health to find out more. Irish Life Health Act is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
I'm just actually going to take a step backwards. Sorry to bounce around, but in terms of PR processes, I think you mentioned earlier, lots of companies were moving away from that. Also, companies seem to be narrowing the extent of how they rate people, whether it's, you know, from, you know, I think there's deliverables and then there's probably something around cultural fit and how they behavior. Sorry, would be a better description. What are you seeing from Personio's clients? Is that fair to say? Are they narrowing? So rather than having 15 different categories, is it shrinking?
Yeah, definitely. I think gone are the days of like having a performance review where you have a massive competency matrix that you have to complete around all your skills and then behaviors and then objectives on top of that or goals. I think in the fast moving, pacey environment that we all work in, you know, regardless if you're in a company that's growing or not, I think the world is moving at a different pace now and expectations are different as well. So therefore, I think those internal kind of frameworks or processes, they have to keep up with that. So I think simplification is key. Like what we've done in Personio and what we've seen in some of our clients is about simplifying. So we ask a question about all of our processes, like, does it help us, like, you know, improve you know, our product for our customer? Does it help us improve our, you know, our business to go forward, or does it help us improve the experience for our people? So we recently went through a stage where we got rid of a few things and we also simplified some things, like our performance growth. We call it performance growth discussions, where we focus less on, you know, countless objectives and, you know, myriad of feedback regular times through the year, And we focus more specifically on some targeted goals or objectives that you, you know, however you work in your business area, that then keep you kind of guided on the kind of mid to long term. But then within that, you might have, you know, smaller actions or focus areas that you can kind of see progress. And they line up, you know, with the department goals or with your department objectives and key results. But again, it depends on how your business area works. So we see like less is more frequent, and definitely a balance of, you know, impact, like what you do and then your behaviors, like how you do it, which is not new, but that's definitely something we're seeing more and more now.
Absolutely. And another thing in your research, which jumped off the page with me, is recognition. And I think there was a disconnect between what younger people and that whole generation were feeling. They weren't getting enough recognition. And then maybe a slightly older generation, you know, felt they were getting more. What role do you think recognition plays for these individuals across all age brackets, and how can companies make sure it happens?
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, we're in a really interesting point, I think, in society, where we have the most generations in the workplace, you know, side by side as colleagues for the first, like, ever. So I think, you know, interestingly, you know, each of those different generations, without stereotyping, do have grown up in a different environment. And I think that, you know, we or any company need to recognize that and think about how do they make sure that people can see and can feel their contributions are being made, and that they get, you know, feedback or, you know, whatever is right for them, that they can see that they get that, you know, from the work that they do. I think that what's happened maybe in the pandemic is, you know, there's been less ability to see people in person. Obviously now that's shifted, but that we still have a backlog there, I think, where some people who joined organizations, maybe who are from a, you know, into entry or mid-level roles, maybe this is our first, second job, that they, you know, do expect or want more recognition or appreciation or understanding. Are they on the right track? And how did they know kind of like what's next for them? And then I think the other part that people are they're seeing in that kind of generation is more around balancing work life with their own personal drivers as well. And I think this notion of like work-life balance, I think, is probably one that we probably should throw out. And it's more around how do we make sure that like work and personal things can fit together really well so that everyone can get the best of both and be at their best, you know, when they are at work. So I think we're seeing two parts there with what I'd say maybe like younger generations who are coming into the workplace now from maybe studying or further education.
It's a really interesting point you make across the cross generation. Sorry, let me try that again. The other thing that in the results was the younger generation feeling, sorry, I think you defined that as 18 to 34 year olds, but it was effectively they feel they've missed out on promotions, career progression, that sort of stuff during the pandemic. What was behind that feeling, and maybe what can companies do to make them not feel that that is the case, or prove to them that that is not the case?
Yeah, so I think, you know, the research had kind of given us good indication that that group across all the different countries and companies that we had surveyed were feeling that there was an actual or perceived view that the pandemic had kind of held back opportunity. And I think in some cases it had, because as we said earlier, some companies were really going back to their core. Maybe they had less opportunity for new jobs to promote people into, or there was less movement for people then to go into when others left. And then some companies were just not spending as much on growing their headcount to create those opportunities organically as well. So I think there was definitely that perception, I think, in some cases, or reality for others. I think now, you know, what we talk about in our organization, you know, we've been lucky to be able to kind of keep her career progression going for those that want to move job levels and have opportunity. I think the thing that I always talk to new joiners or people that have been here in that group for those years is career progression is not just about job levels and job opportunities in that way. Career progression is about being part of an organization or a team or an area where you're learning and growing, and what you're learning not only for what you're doing, but others around you. And we hear that a lot from our own people that, yes, whilst you want to progress and you want to see the recognition for, you know, when you're ready for a different role, that that can happen. But also that when you're in your own role, is that you're reminded about the things you're actually learning and growing. And I think that was one of the first things that when I talk to people and remind them of, they forget about that. And they're like, oh, yeah, I remember I did that project, or, you know, we had to adapt and deliver this in that way, or we had to work, you know, in a hybrid setup. And we had to learn new skills to be able to deliver a product in that way. So these were things that people then went, oh, actually, I've learned some new things that can help me for the future. But, you know, that said, you know, now that, you know, there are other organizations who have started to ramp up hiring, so the economy just now is still, you know, showing some signs of recession. And obviously, we're trying to balance inflation, etc. So there are a lot of companies hiring out. The key thing is, how do you make sure that you look after the talent you have, especially in that cohort who may be tempted, you know, to explore other options when they get approached? Because, you know, it is a hot market, especially if you're in, you know, cities across Europe where, you know, there's opportunities in different organizations too.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Ross, one last thing I'd just like to get your opinion. I think, sorry to refer back to your research again, but I think it was 60%+ of hiring manager or HR said that retention was their biggest issue on their plate. And the group of people surveyed, a huge proportion of them, I think it was over 50%, indicated that they were open to new roles at this moment or whatever. How can there be such a disconnect, and what can organizations do to close the gap? You've sort of touched on a few points on it now, but how, where does the disconnect come from?
I think the disconnect is just like people reevaluating, like as we said at the top of the session, where people are thinking about, okay, am I valued here? Am I getting great conversations with my leader? Am I getting recognition? Can I see progression in some way, whether that's job moves or projects or opportunities? You know, is my pay keeping up with, you know, where I think I should be? So I think that's a big bucket of things in there. So it depends on your organization. And I think the first thing I'd definitely encourage people to do is understand what's happening in your company. So hopefully the reason why we did, you know, hopefully for this survey, sorry, the reason why we did it is encouraging people to go, okay, well, these are some really important, you know, data points. How do they reflect on my organization? When was the last people in our company around how they're thinking and feeling about the future, about themselves, about where they're going? And then use that as a springboard to understand, okay, where do we need to invest? Do we have a plan, you know, a people strategy, a people plan, even just, you know, some basic goals that help you address what are the potential drivers for people to leave your company? So, you know, talking, if you don't have that insight, you know, talk to your employees. Do you have an engagement survey, employee voice or pulse survey? Do you talk to people when they leave? A lot of companies still don't. Exit interview, I think, is needing a rebirth. Also, people that have left, you know, do you reach back out to them? Like, what was it that made them decide to leave in the end? I think these are really rich data sources that can help you then figure out where do you want to focus, because it's not everything to every company. There may be one or two things that if you focused on and took some action, then that could really help you prevent those who are planning on leaving to think twice. So that would be my advice to, I guess, any of the HR professionals or business leaders that are listening in today.
That's excellent insight, Ross. Ross, how can people view Personio and the product offering you guys have?
Yeah, so I guess you're on personio.com, literally going to the World Wide Web, and you can have a look at kind of like Personio, what we offer. You can also organize a demo. So if you're interested in looking at your HR technology needs, you can do that online. And then obviously one of the team will get back in touch. And there's loads of other content out there about, you know, what we're doing in terms of product now and in the future. So yeah, please take a look. And yeah, we have a lot of community events as well. So if you're an HR professional, you can sign up and get notified about some of the HR dinners and events that we have in a lot of European cities now that we are able to be in person.
Brilliant. Ross Seychelles is CPO of Personio.com, and we will link all of that below the podcast. Ross, thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you, Declan. Great to talk.
HRHeadquarters.ie, the podcast.
Brought to you by Irish Life Health.